Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
This is when we move to answer your burning science questions. Dr. Carl is an Australian science communicator and a popularizer. Good morning, Dr. Carl. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Howard.
Good. Tell us about doppelgangers.
Well, a doppelganger is somebody who apparently looks very similar to you, almost identical. Mm-hmm. They've been around in the myths of the human race since Egyptian times, nearly 5,000 years ago. Usually they're kind of mean or malevolent or sinister. But occasionally, for example, in the Norse literature, a doppelganger will turn up at your destination before you do, thus alerting the host that you're on the way, and I'll just break out some champagne for you or whatever. And it does seem as though some people do look very similar. There's a Canadian website which has been going for a few decades called I'm Not a Look Alike, look-alike. And there are pairs of people who often come from different parts of the country and who look amazingly similar when you see them one after the other. But when you see them side by side, you think, oh, their lips are a little bit different. And there has been one study done under hard military conditions with about 4,000 military recruits. Mm-hmm. And they applied 5 measurements of the skull. And these were not measurements of the mouth or the nose, but rather the distance between the cheekbones, between the pupils, how high your ears were, how much they stuck out from your the side of your head, the left, right, and backwards, forwards, dimension of your skull, etc., etc. And they found that with these 4,000 people, they could uniquely identify each person just with measuring 5 of their 8 measurements of the skull. And when they went to 8, they estimated, because they didn't have a trillion people on a planet, that it would take 8 trillion people. That's roughly 100 times the population. So if you've got fairly exacting standards of taking photographs of people or looking at people under exactly military conditions, mm-hmm. then eight characteristics will uniquely define them. But of course, most of us are walking around laughing, telling stories with variable lighting. And then under those circumstances, our facial recognition programs often confuse us. And the weird thing is that facial recognition is essential for your passport, opening your smartphone, your license. So you don't have an exact doppelganger unless your standards are a little bit lower, in which case you do.
And I guess we see that as well with some politicians and celebrities, where they find somebody who looks similar to them, and in fact they try and enhance that to make it more so that they could use them for events.
Ah, and for careers. And in the series on TV, on streaming, Catherine the Great, her husband Peter apparently has half a dozen doppelgangers, which many of them come to an unfortunate end.
Right, as it does. The meaning of after sourcing this incredibly precious electrolyte-rich mineral water from our protected aquifer in remote northern Queensland. What are we talking about? It's put through 3 stages. What is this?
An advertising blurb.
Yes.
Onto the side of a bottle of what looks like water.
Uh-huh.
And you notice that the very first sentence on the side of the bottle does not have a verb.
Yes.
It starts off with after.
Yes.
After sourcing this incredibly precious electrolyte-rich mineral water from our protected aquifer in remote North Queensland, full stop, there's no verb. And
yes.
Then it says it is put through a 3-stage kinetic means movement, and electromagnetic frequency process, and infused between 430 to 770 terahertz, the frequency capital F of a rainbow. Now, it turns out that kinetic means movement,
right.
And that frequency band for 30 to 770 terahertz is visible light. So what they mean by that very fancy sentence, full of sciencey sounding words, is they shake the water and leave it out in sunlight.
So this is the problem. This is the problem with, it's a problem on so many levels. So all that is a bottle of water that's actually been shaken and left in the sunlight. And now it's being sold as something that's really incredibly special. Just because of the words.
It's because of the sciencey words. So I'm kind of thinking either the people at the company were misled by somebody, or they knew that they were saying science rubbish and wanted to make money out of it, which is kind of naughty. You shouldn't really tell lies to make money.
Exactly.
That's just me.
Yeah, but it really is amazing because we are so desperate for scientific stuff that's going to be this magic cure to, you know, it's going to make us younger, thinner, healthier, and live forever, that we almost want to buy into the nonsense, don't we?
Because we want to live forever. So the easiest thing to do is, firstly, with regard to food, follow the mantra, which is seven letters, eat food, comma, mostly plants, comma, not too much. And the other thing, and this is especially important for the kids, is to do regular exercise. And let me emphasize this. For a long time, it was thought that the loss of your muscle mass, you know, you became weaker with time and your bones got weaker. It was thought that that was inevitable until over the last couple of decades, scientists have been looking at people who just do exercise all their lives. Like, for example, the bicyclists who go out in their Lycra gear, and they do not lose muscle mass with age. They do not get massive bone thinning or osteoporosis. They don't get the hormonal changes. So, kids, just do some exercise. It doesn't really matter what. Let it change over the years, but always do a little bit each day. Look, at the very least, I can do 33 sit-ups in 2 minutes and 40 seconds. At least you can always afford 2 minutes and 40 seconds. If there's nothing else you do all day, do 33 sit-ups. Why 33? Can't do 34. It just kills me.
And finally, parasites. Let's just talk about parasites because they are a bit gross, but apparently we need them.
They are gross. Even the word means, in the ancient Greek, feeding beside. And they'll do anything from eating your blood, eating your skin, and sometimes they cause no problems, sometimes they do. Sometimes there are parasites upon parasites upon parasites upon parasites. So this tree, it's parasitized by an insect, which is then parasitized by a wasp, which is then parasitized by three chains of fungi, one after the other after the other. And we reckon now, with our new knowledge, that there are more species of parasites than there are of so-called free living animals. And in fact, we tend to need them. So if you have a country where there's just no parasites at all in the population, they tend to have a slightly higher incidence of autoimmune diseases where your body attacks itself. But if you have just a little bit of parasitism going on in the humans, then you seem to have far fewer autoimmune diseases. A little bit of parasite is probably okay. Too much is bad. Too much is definitely bad. The guinea worm, forget it. And you don't want something that's causing you to bleed all over the place. But just maybe a little tiny bit every now and then. Maybe a little bit of dirt, a little bit of germ.
Yeah, it wouldn't kill you.
A little bit's not too bad.
Right, exactly. In fact, it's probably quite healthy for you. Dr. Carl, thank you as always. Fascinating as we answer some of your burning science questions.